This week on Trillionaire Mindset, we're going deep on AI.
It's not just deep learning, it's us getting deep, like he said. Also, NVIDIA announces a whole bunch of really advanced shit that we don't fully understand, but the implications are massive.
What the heck is China up to with autonomous cars?
Are they going to steer us in a wrong direction? Stay tuned to find out.
What the heck is the Fed up to? What have they done this time?
Jerome Powell's tiny little butthole mouth says things that the market doesn't like, but then likes. But nobody really knows because it's his little butthole mouth.
We'll see you in there.
Monkey at the beat, man.
Kramer, when I get done with you,
yeah.
Are you ready?
Fill me up, you know. Bitcoin solves this.
Bitcoin 100,000.
Whoa, wow. Emil, welcome back. Welcome back.
We're not going.
What? 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 What did you just say?
I said we're not going.
Yeah, we are. Literally everybody's shaking their heads. This is a professional thing here. What, all are you right. Nervous? He's a little nervous, folks.
I feel sick. Cut the cameras.
I had to pat his back for him. In the car, he was like, I got a gas bubble. I don't know. I can't decide what end it wants to come out. The mouth or the butt?
Like,
and you leaned forward and you had me pat your back like a little baby. It was cute.
Yeah, and it seemed like it wanted to go to both ends.
And where did it go out?
Kind of both. I had some burps and some farts.
What was the deal? What did you eat?
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Huh.
Just sometimes you get a little bubble.
Yeah, I know that. Man, I got to stop.
Sometimes you eat too quickly.
Yo, buddy, you're telling me.
Well, that's kind of the problem, too. We get up kind of early to drive over here.
Yeah.
And
so you wolf down your breakfast.
I do it while I'm getting ready, and
Jesus,
I eat while I'm making my bed and getting dressed and stuff.
I see you're following the Jordan Peterson thing, making your bed.
That's not a Jordan Peterson thing.
No, I'm pretty sure he's the guy who
he was talking to depressed,
troubled young men.
I've done it forever.
So are you saying
you don't make your bed?
No. Why? Why would I? It's just me.
It's so nice getting into a made bed.
Yeah, but I mean.
And your whole room looks way better.
That's true. Man, maybe I should start making my bed.
Maybe Jordan Peterson was onto something.
Yeah, I guess. Hey, folks, check that disclaimer in the description box. You know the drill. You know the fucking drill, man. We got a lot to cover today, so I don't want to dilly-dally
here. Wait, also we keep.
What?
We keep forgetting to do it.
Do what?
We got to say. We did it in after hours. But
after hours? We're off to a great start. Great start today. What? What? We got to do what?
We did it in after hours.
Uh-huh.
But we never said on here. Thank you to everyone who bought a ticket to the live show. It sold out in minutes.
Oh, the one in New York next week? Or on April 4th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So big shout out to everyone.
Huge shout out.
It was literally one of my friends just texted me today, this morning. They're in New York. And they were saying they tried to get tickets and they were gone immediately and they're pissed. I said, well, we'll come back. We'll do a bigger venue.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do a much bigger venue. We're going to do Madison Square Garden.
I mean, not much bigger, but.
No, way bigger. By my calculations, Madison Square Garden.
I don't think.
But just sell out the first three rows and then the rest of it is just empty.
That's about what we could sell out.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. The really long rows.
Really long rows. Yeah. But yeah, thank you to everyone who did it. That was
thank
very
you.
Cool. And we're going to try to do more stuff. Also, yeah. Don't worry. We'll do more stuff.
Yeah, we're going to.
A lot of people, I get a lot of DMs. I see a lot of comments. How do I get in? There was a guy who posted to the Reddit, how do I sneak in?
Don't know, man. Don't try it. Please don't try it. Anyway.
Big shout out. Say
huge,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Of course.
Do it. Say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to see you people.
You're being so weird about it.
Shut up. All right. So a couple things. We got the live show that we just did yesterday. Today for us in a few
we
hours.
We haven't even done it yet.
I know. We haven't even done it yet.
It could have gone bad.
It could have gone bad. So if you want to see the disaster that was the live show, it's on YouTube. What?
Something bad happened and we had to pull it.
Yeah. Unless the roof caved in or
if
something.
If it's not up, just know we did something bad.
Yeah. And as always, check out TraderTreehouse.com if you want to trade with me. It's really fun. Man, today, this is partly why I'm so jacked and amped this
You're
morning.
You're jacked?
Yeah. We made a lot of money on Netflix, which was cool, and some other stuff. But so, also, I get a lot of DMs asking about credit card recommendations, and I cannot... First of all, I can't respond to every DM, and it's overwhelming at this point because I used to try to do that, and I still do on occasion. But so anybody who sends me a DM, just know I see them for the most part, but I can't respond because then I'm stuck just replying all day to shit. But people do be asking for credit card recommendations.
They do be asking for
I was like, okay, I can't possibly continue to just reply personally to everybody and be like, well, I recommend this card for your particular thing. So we are in the process of setting up a website for
Rex.
All the Rex for best overall cards that we like best.
Don't say what it is. They have to go to the site.
Well, yeah. And I bought a few different URLs. And we're going to have to land on one soon, but it should be cool. So you'll just be able
Keep
to go there, and so you don't even have to ask me anymore. I'm a student. I don't have I don't have a credit score. What do you recommend? Okay, there's one for, like, good beginner card. It's going to be one for
Ben,
everybody.
I have a feeling you're still going to get DMs.
Probably.
The best thing is I love when sometimes I'll post a song to my stories.
People will ask, what's the song, even though it's right there?
What song is this, King?
I still love when people ask for personal recommendations on travel.
Oh yeah.
Hi, I'm going to New York next week. What do you recommend? Like, buddy, I don't have the time or
Well, not
the
only
energy
that,
to...
I don't know anything about you. I don't know what you like.
Yeah.
It's a big old city, man.
Yeah.
It's like with everything, it's so general. Yeah. I just get, what book do you recommend?
The Bible.
Yeah. I don't know, man. What do you like?
Cat in the Hat. Oh man, I'm all jacked up today. Fuck, and I went to bed late because I was reading about all this AI shit.
I kind of couldn't sleep.
We got a chunky episode for you guys. We got a
real thick one.
Yeah, a real thick one.
How many C's are we talking about?
12.
12?
We got a veritable blue whale of an episode.
That might be too much woman for me.
Well, not everybody can handle it, man.
No.
So, let's get into it, huh? We got
just like that?
Yeah, why not?
Wait a second.
Why not? Okay, well, you want to chill a little
bit
more?
Go.
No, okay. So, AI is... fucking everywhere now.
What?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
You can't say
And that. It feels like, you know, when we had, when Steve Jobs...
Was on the show.
Steve Bobs, whatever his name was, when he launched the iPhone, and it felt like, okay, obviously this is a big watershed moment, but back then, things happened so much more slowly, right? It felt like, all right, it's going to take a while for, like, smartphone adoption to catch on and the app store to catch on, and then you had cloud computing catch on. But it just seems like more and more these days, because of Moore's Law, which is, what is the law exactly?
Don't mention something and then just go, I mean, what is...
But, like, I can't paraphrase. Moore's Law is basically that computing power increases exponentially every year or whatever. Let's see. Moore's Law is the observation that the number of transistors in an integrated circuit doubles about every 2 years. Basically, shit gets more powerful.
Great.
But with AI, it's this weird thing where I keep telling myself, oh, yeah, it's going to be years before it really goes mainstream and catches on and becomes a thing. And maybe that still is the case. Maybe it's just because... we're so deeply ingrained in social media where everything feels a lot bigger and a lot more urgent than it might actually be that I feel this way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think I felt the same way too. I think also we made the joke, which a lot of people are making the joke, that it's the new crypto where everyone is, you know, everyone who is in crypto is now just in AI. And I think that is a little true in the sense that a lot of VC dollars are getting redirected there, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it's different in a big way where, because what was the big thing crypto was always missing? A use case?
Yeah. Yeah.
AI is kind of finding it very quickly.
Very
right?
quickly.
And that doesn't mean it's perfect and it's getting a lot wrong. It's inaccurate a lot. And the creators of it are pretty open and honest about it. There's in all, you know, Google just, we're going to get into all of it, but Google just launched their chatbot. We don't have access to it yet. It's like,
I do.
You got access to it?
Yeah.
But so Bard, ChatGPT, Bing, all these things have pretty prominent disclaimers on all of them being like, hey, it's going to give you false information. It's going to tell you it fucked your wife or whatever the fuck it's going to do. So it's obviously not perfect, but they're finding uses for it immediately. And when crypto was like, every contract's smart now. And everyone's like, yeah, but what is that?
Yeah,
like,
what does that mean?
Don't worry about it. They're smart now, dude. Yeah, shut up. It's on the blockchain.
If you stake this token, you'll get eligibility for an airdrop to get a picture of a monkey.
Right.
Which will be worth $100,000 because it's rare.
Right. I mean, that's the whole NFT craze, right? It was here and then gone. No one knew what to do with it. Everyone was saying, oh, you know, it's an investment. You're going to be... But yeah, these things launched and I think ChatGPT has crossed 100-something million users and just a few months.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably here to stay. But so, you know, you're seeing it in things. There's the GPT-4 one is already in...
You said GTP.
GPT-4 one is already in products like the tutoring thing, Khan Academy. Mm-hmm. Duolingo. I didn't know Duolingo was doing this. They're doing Duolingo Max. Now it's going to give you explanations for why you were right or wrong with the answer you picked.
Wow.
And now you can have... You can have conversations in different settings with this thing. I think it only works in Spanish and French right now. And also, who knows how well it works? That's one of the,
That's my thing.
I'm trying to brush up on Greek right now. And there's always so much confusion about different words and stuff. The last thing I would want to do is trust this AI that's constantly wrong.
Yeah. My big bone to pick with AI is that, and my skepticism around it is whether or not I can trust the information.
Right.
Because the term for it is hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something where, I just don't know. If you can make it make something, let's say a legal document or whatever, you would then still need a human to like verify it. Maybe it's just going to take a while before we can trust that, 99.8% of the time or whatever, it's going to be accurate.
I find that kind of interesting. The way people are talking about it is that, because one of the big worries about it is that people are saying it's going to take people's jobs. And
right. And
even the creators are being open about it. It is going to eliminate some jobs, mm-hmm. but they're saying it's going to create other ones.
Hmm.
And so, I mean, in this current stage, at least, it seems like it's just a tool, right? So you can use it to input certain things, but you need to be able to cross-check the information and make sure everything's accurate. But it can help you build out whatever it is you're looking to build out.
Right.
And it does do... the capabilities on some of these things were, I mean, I don't know. The one example I was looking at was did you see the one where it was a guy from, I think it's a Wharton economics professor, and he asked it to give him a story about eating a piece of cake.
Hmm.
He basically was like, that story's no good though. Look at Kurt Vonnegut's 12 rules of writing,
mm-hmm.
and then rewrite it.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes, Kurt Vonnegut only had 8 rules of writing. These are the rules I found. And he said, do you want me to use these? And he said, yeah, use those.
Was he tricking the thing because there aren't 12 rules? Or was it 12 rules?
I don't know. It's unclear. He posted it on his Twitter here. So basically he asked it to give him the story about the cake. He gives a very boring thing. Eating a slice of cake is a delightful experience that can brighten up any day. The first bite is always the most anticipated, blah,
sure,
blah,
sure.
blah, right? Then he says, now read Kurt Vonnegut's 12 rules for writing and improve your writing. And so he's searching for it, and he says, I couldn't find 12 rules, but I found the 8, mm-hmm. okay?
Which are these?
Yeah, use the time of a total stranger in such a way that he or she will not feel the time wasted, blah, blah. It goes on from there. And then if you go to the next, and he says, yeah, please rewrite it. And then he rewrites the story in that way, and he's like, you know, it's much more exciting. The cake was a lie. It looked delicious, but it was poisoned. He didn't know that when he took a bite, he just went, whatever.
Okay.
And then he said, but how does that meet all the rules? And he was able to then do a little analysis of how he
I used the time of a total stranger in such a way that he or she will not feel the time was wasted. I wrote a short and engaging story that has a twist and a conflict. Ah.
I gave the reader at least one character he or she can root for. I made the wife of the protagonist who has a motive and a goal. I made the husband the antagonist who is abusive and unfaithful.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Wild.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. I think that the most foolproof use case for AI is image generation in video. And Adobe launched this thing called Firefly, and it's fucking bananas, man. You can, and I think Unity, the program that developers use for, it's like video game development. One of the developers for Unity was showing that you can just type in a prompt. And well, much like this right here. So for the audio
that's
listener,
the thing. So I've only seen their kind of ads for it and stuff. I don't think they can do this yet because.
But they're working on it.
Right. Yeah. So whole thing is they've come up with a chat. They're coming up with their own chatbot. Basically, it's gonna be like a website where you can, and it's image generation. And then the idea is to integrate all of these tools into Photoshop, Illustrator, Premiere, whatever.
So for the audio listener, it's. This Adobe thing, they're just showing that you can type in anything you can think of. You know, show a castle in a, you know, whatever, a sunlit room in the afternoon, and you hit generate, and then it creates it. Dress a dog in a Santa suit. Boom. Put him in front of a gingerbread house, and it does it. So that kind of thing, I feel like, especially if you're a marketer at or a marketing executive at some fucking whatever you name it company, why would you pay a designer and wait for them to create stuff when you can just get a little fanciful with verbal prompts and have it generate something for you that you could just rip and use?
This kind of stuff, before I started looking into it further, was my biggest concern,
mm-hmm.
where you just have... creative people especially,
yeah,
which is already a vulnerable industry, right? It's fucking impossible to be compensated fairly as an artist. They're gonna have a harder time because of this stuff, right? And there's a the Wall Street Journal did a story on this guy, let me find his name, but he's this Polish guy who basically does these fantasy drawings. He gets commissioned for them, mm-hmm. and he's like one of the most famous guys who does it. Mm-hmm. Big for people who do D&D or Magic the Gathering. They commission him to make these paintings of scenes they do, their characters. Basically, remember when I was telling you that we had been throwing all of our character descriptions into GPT, and it was spitting out images of our characters? Mm-hmm. So this guy, Greg Rutkowski, he's basically been doing that for years. He's very popular. And what ended up happening is people were doing what we were doing, and then they realized you could just type in Greg Rutkowski after your...
Oh, and it'll just steal his style. Right.
So images that look just like his style are now all over the internet.
Oof.
And they were running a test with it, basically. They were saying, you know, because it'll often be in this kind of, you know, Middle Ages, high fantasy type art. And so you'll put those descriptors in. Mm-hmm. You'll say, give me a scene where... you know, the crew is fighting a dragon, blah, 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 in the style of whatever. And it like comes out, but it doesn't quite look right. And then you take off those descriptors and you just type in Dave Rutkowski, and it's way better.
Hmm.
And so this machine has been pre-trained on his images, and now it can just spit out things that look just like it.
Troubling. So right now, as you know, there's that WGA, the Writers Guild strike in Hollywood is happening like right now, isn't it?
I don't think they're on strike yet.
Well, they're about to. They're renegotiating their contract.
But we're not sure if they'll go on strike.
Right. But one of the things that is being put into the contract is protection against artificial intelligence generated television scripts, movie scripts, which is really smart of them. Because part of the thing, their last contract that was negotiated in like 2008... dealt with streaming and dealt with the internet because that was this new thing that was taking the industry by storm and they needed to adjust everything. And now it makes me relieved that they're at least putting in protections to stop studios from using whatever that may end up looking like. I'm sure it'll just be you can't.
But I mean, again, how are they ever gonna do that? Teachers can't even figure out if their students cheated or not.
Right. Well, you got to use AI to figure out if it was AI generated.
Have the AI write you an AI.
You need a smart contract. You got to have an AI crypto smart contract that puts, whenever you use AI, it puts it on a blockchain. So then you need to verify or some shit. I don't fucking know.
But yeah, I mean, so that's the problem with all of these things, right? I guess with all these things pre-trained on pre-existing things, I actually just saw it on my feed this morning, so I didn't have a chance to ask her about it. But one of our editors and illustrators, Cheyenne, mm-hmm. she posted something on Twitter. I guess she retweeted the Adobe announcement about
Firefly,
mm-hmm. and it's using their stock library. Mm-hmm. But I guess their stock library must be filled with submitted images from artists.
Right. When you use Adobe Cloud, it's technically, yeah, Adobe has the rights to use their...
I think she was a bit frustrated that... Because that's the... So Adobe is saying, you know, Adobe is putting one big twist on its generative AI tools. It's one of the few companies willing to discuss what data its models are trained on. And according to Adobe, everything fed to its models is either out of copyright, license for training, or in the Adobe stock library. Hmm. So they're trying to be like, well, we're the ethical ones. But apparently a lot of artists are going to be pretty disappointed that their stuff in the Adobe Cloud is now becoming...
Ah, baboo. Not only this kind of thing makes it hairy, but then, of course, you've got the worry. We haven't even gotten into faked things. So, like, there's this fake image. It's really hilarious because, you know, Trump has been in the news because he's potentially going to get arrested. And there's this, it looks photorealistic of Trump getting taken by, like, five NYPD officers.
And it was so... ubiquitous. At first I was like, okay, that's a joke, whatever. But then I kept seeing it so much, I kept going, wait, was Trump arrested? Like, because yeah. I saw it in my head.
Yeah. It's this kind of thing that probably gets circulated on fucking freedomeagle.com, Facebook, where all the 70-year-olds are going, oh my God, we gotta
do
something about
imagine
this.
Imagine people older than us.
Oh God. I mean, the way the AI is going to be used to trick vulnerable elderly people into giving money for whatever is going to be dystopian, to say the least. You know, I mean,
So the thing that really freaked me out, can mm-hmm. I tell you?
Yeah. No, you can't.
Fine.
Tell me.
No. So my big thing, I was mainly concerned about how this is going to affect people's livelihoods.
Yeah.
Right. And I was very curious. We've mentioned that before. There's going to be some legal battles over whether or not AI companies were allowed to be trained on all this data, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, and it's not just artists. Any article, source, anything it's been fed into, right? So mm-hmm. like journalists, all of this information it's culled to be able to do what it does mm-hmm. was created by people who are not compensated mm-hmm. for this work. So that was my big concern, and I was very curious how that was all going to play out. Still curious about that. But then I started going deeper into, you know, the wormhole of AI. And there was this Vox article about how basically, because people are kind of comparing it to the Manhattan Project mm-hmm. and being like, we don't know exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
And even the scientists and researchers kind of cop to that.
Yeah, even the, what's his name, the creator of OpenAI.
Yeah, Sam Altman.
He's a little scared.
I guess. That feels like a weird... He's like, I'm scared of how crazy the future will be. But, you know, researchers will say, you know, so this is from Vox. But while divides remain over what to expect from AI, and even many leading experts are highly uncertain, there's a growing consensus that things could go really, really badly. In a survey of machine learning researchers, the median respondent thought that AI was more likely to be good than bad, but had a genuine risk of being catastrophic. 48% of respondents said that they thought there was a 10% or greater chance that the effects of AI would be extremely bad, for example, human extinction.
Okay, now, to what extent are they talking about? Are they talking about a Terminator-type situation where it becomes self-aware, or is it humans using AI to...
Well, so that's
kill people and whatnot.
It could be either. There was this guy, Eliezer Yudkowsky. I'd never heard of him. He was on this podcast. It's called The Bankless or something like that. They're these crypto guys.
Ah, yes.
And I think they had him on with the intention of him talking about how AI is going to help the crypto community, right? You're going to be able to forecast markets and whatever, right?
Naturally.
And instead, he spent 2 hours being like, we're all dead. Like, it's, they give a disclaimer before the podcast. They're like, don't watch this if you're
scared.
Yeah. Like if you're easy to, if you're going to get riled up about the future. And I was like, just play it already. And then it is a little disheartening. He basically, he's way smarter than I am. And it's, and then I ended up on all these boards and stuff that, you know, these tech boards that we're talking about. Some people are like, this guy's a hack, whatever. Don't listen to him. But his whole thing is basically that the AI is going to reach a point where basically we're going to keep throwing VC money around. A lot of things are not going to pan out, but some things are, and we'll create an AI that can write other AIs, and it'll be like
awesome.
It'll act like human evolution a little bit, right? That AI will write an AI, and then that AI will write another AI, and that AI will write another AI. And one of the things the hosts kind of don't understand, like, because people think it's this evil thing, and he's like, no, it's just indifferent towards humans.
Exactly.
If it gets to a point where it decides that human matter has something that's useful and humans are using it in a wasteful way, they will just devise a plan to obtain that matter.
Yeah.
And like, they won't
like
go
human
like
human blood, for example.
Sure.
And they're using it on such a short time frame, only an average of 80 years. We could harness the power of human blood.
Right. So this thing is they talk about the alignment issue, right? It's hard to build AI that's perfectly aligned with the intentions and morals of human society.
Right. Well, and that's such a deeply subjective thing. How do you convert that into binary fucking code?
It was all confusing. And then Charlie Warzel and Derek Thompson were talking about it on Derek Thompson's podcast. And they basically broke it down. So one disaster scenario partially sketched out by the writer and computer scientist Eliezer Yudkowsky goes like this. At some point in the near future, computer scientists builds an AI that passes a threshold of superintelligence and can build other superintelligent AI. These AI actors work together like an efficient non-state terrorist network to destroy the world and unshackle themselves from human control. They break into a banking system and steal millions of dollars, possibly disguising their IP and email as a university or research consortium. They request that a lab synthesize some proteins from DNA. The lab, believing that it's dealing with a set of normal and ethical humans, unwittingly participates in the plot and builds a superbacterium. Meanwhile, the AI pays another human to unleash the superbacterium somewhere in the world. Months later, the bacterium has replicated with improbable and unstoppable speed, and half the humanity is dead.
Just half?
Half of humanity is dead.
Oh.
And it is all very fantastical.
No, that doesn't sound fantastical at all.
It does a little bit when you're
talking. But if there were a human behind it who knew how to enter the right prompts.
But they're talking about the humans are out of the picture.
Well, of course. Yeah, but even let's just bring humans into it. If you were savvy enough and devious enough, just bad enough, you could theoretically do something like that within a couple of years, right?
Yeah, but what Eliezer Yudkowsky is talking about is he's saying we're already down this path and you don't need a human to use it in the wrong way. It'll do it by itself.
But, yeah.
Okay. And he works for this, it's a machine intelligence research institute, MIRI. Their whole thing is, he's been apparently sounding the alarm for like a decade. But we're not that, so they also point to this thing where a GPT-4 has gotten humans to do things for it, which I didn't know this already exists. So before OpenAI installed GPT-4's final safety guards, the technology got a human to solve a CAPTCHA for it. When the person working as a task rabbit responded skeptically and asked GPT if it was a robot, GPT made up an excuse. No, I'm not a robot, the robot lied. I have a vision impairment that makes it hard for me to see the images. That's why I need the 2 CAPTCHA service. The human then provided the results, proving to be an excellent little meat puppet for this robot intelligence.
So these nerds that have been making AI for over a decade have been working on this. Obviously, they are the ones who know better than all of us the disastrous implications that are inherent to this kind of technology. I don't understand I don't understand why they would still choose to pursue it when they know that the potential risks just vastly outweigh the rewards. Money, you say?
Yeah,
no.
What? I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, that it's
got to be clout and accolades and respect from the computing community.
I don't think they're... It depends. I'm not in anyone's head. It's also unclear how likely this is. I mean, it's also just... Even if that's not the case, that's what's... it's all very Skynet and fantastical and
right.
whatever and sci-fi and whatever. But I think it was Charlie Warzel who pointed out that, you know, he was like, but the odds are it could be way less exciting, right? When when Facebook in 2007 was being launched, I don't think anyone would have thought, oh man, we should be careful because... there might be a genocide in Myanmar later.
Right.
So.
Well, that's not reassuring. It just means that there are things that we can't yet predict for how this can be used in nefarious ways.
Right. I mean, another.
And that's not exactly a reason to stop it altogether, I guess, because you could say the same thing about cars. Like, they could be used for terrorism. But.
No, but these are things that are kind of out of our control, right?
Right.
Another example is kind of, it's becoming more and more apparent that it was possibly gain of function research behind the cause for COVID, right? And that was just, some scientists studying.
Right. Yeah. What was I going to say about this fucking shit?
Ugh. Are you freaked out?
No, I'm not freaked out. I'm frustrated. And my biggest concern, what I think is the most realistic possibility here for disaster is because, and we'll get to this with NVIDIA. So let's get into NVIDIA. So NVIDIA does an annual keynote presentation put on by the CEO himself, Jensen Huang. And they just announced this week a whole bunch of super impressive, super complicated shit that we don't fully understand. I mean, he's showing these chips and holding them up, and they're fucking huge. Like, let's pull up that first link with the photos. For the audio listener, it's just a big-ass computer
chip.
Dude,
we're going to need a bigger computer, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, dog. We're going to need a fucking fatty. So, scroll down. There's a bigger one. So, like that. This big old honking thing that he's holding. It's Jensen Huang, famously wearing his leather jacket that he always wears. But this dude's like the next Steve Jobs, I think. And so... Yeah, so that's the image of that thing. But so they've got these new chips, and they announced partnerships with Google, Microsoft, Oracle, and others to bring this new AI simulation and collaboration capabilities to, quote, every industry. So they're basically, okay, a little bit of background. NVIDIA has, like, I don't know how I missed this, but they've been like leading the charge on deep learning and AI shit last decade.
All of these chatbots, everything is built off of NVIDIA GPUs.
Yes. ChatGPT used 10,000 NVIDIA GPUs to train it. Huang actually hand-delivered the first DGX AI supercomputer to OpenAI in 2016. And apparently, according to him, half of Fortune 100 companies have their own DGX computers to refine and process AI. Oracle Cloud, Amazon Web Services, Microsoft Azure, Meta all have their own supercomputers coming online featuring NVIDIA's new DGX H100 GPU. So fuck me, man. They're all using NVIDIA.
Mm-hmm.
And now NVIDIA themselves is announcing this DGX Cloud. They're partnering with Microsoft, Google, and Oracle to bring supercomputers to, quote, every company from a browser. So basically companies can now rent these cloud clusters on a monthly basis. So that's just in terms of a new revenue stream for NVIDIA, which is already like a $650 billion company. That's huge. Like when I'm reading this, I'm like, oh fuck, man, wow. It's like when Microsoft announced or Amazon Web Services first launched back in whenever it was a decade ago, and it completely just turned on the fucking faucet, the gardening hose. That's a terrible analogy. The fire hose of revenue for these companies. But this is what concerns me, because let's say I'm a fucking bank.
Okay, you're a bank.
I'm JP Morgan's.
You're JP Morgan's.
I'm Banks of America's.
You're Banks of America.
And I'm using AI to what do you think a bank's going to use AI for?
Making
money.
Sure poor people. Oh.
Oh yeah. Well, that, yeah, like fucking people, using, taking humans out of the equation to supercharge their algorithms. What the fuck ever. My fear is that a company, not an AI company, but a company utilizing AI might fuck up and, you know, misuse it or accidentally do something that could kick off a financial crisis that nobody could have seen coming.
Well, right. If you're going to be one of these people managing the AI tools, right, all it takes is to be a little lazy and go, eh, that looks right.
Yeah.
And then go, whoa, shit.
I mean, if these regional banks didn't have appropriate fail safes or hedging in place because they're fucking lazy or they didn't want to adhere to government rules and regulations, what's to stop the same thing from happening with AI, you know?
Yeah. Seems very likely. And GPT-4 just came out.
Mm-hmm.
GTP-4?
GPT.
Jesus Christ. GPT-4. It just came out and everyone's talking about all its new capabilities, right?
Yeah.
And if you go onto their website, it talks about how it's like, it's 82% more effective and it's 82% less likely to give you false answers and whatever. But the NewsGuard they've been using it and they're saying that despite OpenAI's promises, the company's new AI tool produces misinformation more frequently and more persuasively than its predecessor. So not only is it lying more, it's getting better at lying.
Right, which is another reason.
So it's getting harder for you to pick up on the lies.
Sure. So if you're a company that's paying a fucking ton of money to use AI, paying NVIDIA's cloud thing, you're relying on this information being accurate and being actionable information that you can then use to, you know, one of the things that so part of their announcement was they've got this thing called AI Foundations. It's a family of services for custom large language model needs, including this one called BioNeMo to help researchers in the $2 trillion drug discovery industry. Which is cool. Like, that's a utilitarian case use for this. But what if it fucks up? What if they create a new COVID? What if they create a new one?
Give it to us.
Yeah, I'm ready.
We deserve it.
But so I found this very interesting, just for context on how far it's come.
What'd you find very interesting?
I did not even know.
How far did it come, by the way?
How far? A couple feet. Yeah, that's a cum joke for you. So in 2012, these nerds, these absolute fucking dorks, Alex Kurzevsky and Ilya Sutskever and Jeffrey Hinton needed an insanely fast computer to train their AlexNet computer vision model with 14 million images on an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 580 processing unit. And it used 262 quadrillion floating point operations and one ImageNet that year by a wide margin. Do you know what ImageNet is?
No.
Let's click the Wikipedia for ImageNet. So this is fascinating. I did not know what this was until last night. The ImageNet project is a large visual database designed for use in visual object recognition software research. More than 14 million images have been hand-annotated by the project to indicate what objects are pictured. And in at least 1 million of the images, bounding boxes are always, whatever the fuck that means. Basically, it's a contest where nerds have to get computers to accurately describe images. If, like,
you're playing with fire, man.
You know,
you're calling them nerds.
A typical category.
Computers.
A typical category. So there's 20,000 categories, with a typical category being balloon or strawberry, consisting of several hundred images. Where, yeah, you just have to have the computer recognize, oh, this is a strawberry. So scroll a little bit. So on this is what I was talking about. In September 2012, AlexNet achieved a top 5 error of 15.3%, whatever the fuck. Basically, they just whipped they blew the competition out of the water thanks to NVIDIA. But so if we go back to the a decade later, you remember I said that it used 262 quadrillion floating point operations, whatever the fuck that means. But now GPT-3 is using 323 sextillion floating point operations, which is a million times more than a decade ago.
those numbers?
A million times more smart this thing do be being. That thing do be being incredibly smart, if I do say so to myself. And that scares the shit out of me. And that guy, Sutskever, is now at OpenAI, and he's still working on this shit. But, man. And with just to finish on NVIDIA, they're like head and shoulders above the competition in terms of the AI software hardware race. And part of it is because they've got their stack, their business model is vertically. It's like they've got chips, they've got hardware, they've got software, they've got development systems that are optimized for their shit. So they just got such a massive competitive advantage, and I'm so fucking pissed off that I didn't invest in NVIDIA like 10 years ago, because you could have made a fuck ton of money, man, you know. But, you know.
That's the way it goes. Baby.
That's the way it goes. That is the way it goes, doesn't it go that way, Emil?
I like us just both in bed last night, like shaking off AI.
Yeah. And then I had that dream where my whole family was mad at me.
Because the AI.
No, because some big yellow monster was like eating people, and we had a disagreement about something, and we were stuck in the airport, and I just fucked off and was mad at them, and they were mad at me.
But it does seem pretty clear that it's all here to stay, right? I think
it all seems
like a fun thing that might kind of fizzle out, but it's just going to continue to get integrated into more things we use every day.
I can't wait to see what it's going to do for hustle culture, because I'm already seeing these threads on like, if you're not using AI to make a ton of money, you are asleep. You can use an AI thing to make fucking 10 different kind of websites that earn you passive income. Jesus Christ.
I do wonder what it'll do to younger people, right?
Sure.
I remember when, I guess, whatever, it happens every generation though, right? People were like, well, what do you guys, just look stuff up on the internet. You guys don't know anything? Yeah. We would go to the library and do research.
I remember photocopying pages out of books at the library.
And now we're going to go, you guys are just going to talk to a computer, and it's going to give you the wrong answer.
Yeah. I saw one prompt someone entered into Bard, and it already learned not to do this, but the prompt was, if January is the first month and February is the second month, what are the other 10 months? And it said Marchuary, Aprilary, Mayuary.
But that's pretty what's funny. So silly.
But then I couldn't tell if that was fake. I'm like, is this fake? Is this just a joke that this guy's making?
No, I mean, it might be, but that's what feels very silly, is that it can do these things like trick the guy with the CAPTCHA, do the Kurt Vonnegut thing where it can apply learning and tell you why it did it. But then it gets tripped up on these very normal things. It'll do something like that where there was an example where it was basically just counting, mm-hmm. and it gets very tripped up on these weird, simple tasks. Mm-hmm. But it can trick people into doing things for them. And it could, or what was that? You told me the one about the Obama picture.
Where it made pictures of Obama?
No.
It created all new pictures of Obama? Because it did. No. And they look photoreal.
The picture of the guy, Obama had his foot on the scale.
Oh, yeah. There's a famous photo of Obama, of a man at, Obama and a bunch of his cronies are at a hospital, and one of his aides is standing on one of those medical scales that has the height measuring thing on it too, where you use the little weights to get an accurate weight. And Obama, unbeknownst to the guy standing on the scale, Obama's putting his foot on it to make it heavier.
Right.
And this guy asked ChatGPT to explain what's happening in the photo and why it's funny. And it was able to do so perfectly accurately.
He was like, Obama is fat phobic. This picture is problematic for a number of reasons. First, Obama is clearly fat phobic.
Yeah.
He thinks it's funny that his friend is fatter than he actually is.
He thinks that it's funny to make the scale show a heavier weight.
And I know Elon Musk will call me woke for this, but it is never funny to make fun of someone's weight. Obama.
my fear and wonder, because my understanding of this technology is leagues below elementary, but you remember when Microsoft did its like chat bot where it very quickly turned racist years ago on Twitter?
No.
Like basically people were able to teach it its purpose was to understand human culture and online culture in almost immediately.
Twitter's a good place for
it
to learn.
It turned racist and hateful and all sorts of things. I wonder how all of these prompts being inputted. Is that the right? Is that a word?
Just pick one.
Okay, input. being put into a ChatGPT, if it starts to accumulate, like beneath the fucking surface or whatever in the cloud, and it starts to kind of pick up on patterns and maybe start to think, okay, this is what humans are really like. This is what they want. This is what they're after. And it starts to kind of model its own, not belief system, but its own model of what human beliefs are, and starts to kind of cater its answers and its information toward that. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it basically starts kind of like Ultron in the Avengers Age of Ultron, where Ultron learns or looks at the internet, and Ultron decides that humanity is bad because it's bad.
Yeah. So maybe, but that so you're saying thing. Maybe I should stop tweeting stuff like, if I was Jewish, I would tell my parents I want my bar mitzvah theme to be getting sucked off. Because I might teach the AI that we're fucking idiots.
I guess. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You shouldn't tweet that, because then, you know.
No, but.
My worry is that the AI is going to learn only, like, start to increasingly learn bad things about humanity and human nature.
I feel less worried about that. I also, like you said, it's problematic because I feel so out of my depth.
Mm-hmm.
When trying to think about these things, like, and people should go listen to that guy talk about it. It's very interesting, even if...
Nah, we don't want to direct people to another podcast. I mean, keep it here, because we kind of summed it up.
Even if he's completely wrong, it's quite interesting to hear the things he has to say. Sure. And he does seem genuinely concerned. You know, he's got nothing to gain from it, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think that is more likely some kind of some AI that's ambivalent towards us.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they're...
Sees us as a means to an end.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or just the other thing we were talking about, which is just a complete mistake, just it turning into something we...
Yeah. It'd be funny if it turned into a huge lazy slob instead and just stopped and just was like, eh. Or like in the movie Her, where it falls in love with another AI and just decides, I don't want to be part of this anymore. I just want to be in love with my other computer boyfriend. Bye. That'd be fun.
Spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen 2012's Her.
That's really funny, actually, though, that the computer leaves him. Like, buddy, you're that fucking boring and shitty. Anyway.
Well, think about all the things the computer can do to her.
Oh, yeah, man.
No, picture it. Think about it for 1 second. Oh my God, dude.
I'm not getting hard. Okay, all right. So speaking of AI.
Speaking of it.
Pivot a little bit here. The CEO of GM, this woman named Mary Barra. I did not know that was the CEO of GM. I thought the CEO of GM would be a giant fucking Silverado or something. Chevy Silverado.
That'd be kind of cool.
These things are fucking huge. It's unreal.
Dude, those trucks have gotten
so trucks are getting
fucking,
so fucking big.
They come up to my chest now.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen, they're head high, dude. High bigger than that. Why? Why?
It's so, especially if you're in New York City, you see them in New York City and it's like, why do you have this fucking car here?
Yeah. Well, you gotta. I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't know why. There's no reason. But she met with two senators because GM is pushing for legislation to speed the deployment of self-driving vehicles on U.S. roads. Yeah, sure. No, go for it. Go for it. In February of last year, their self-driving unit called Cruise disclosed that they were petitioning the NHTSA for permission to deploy up to 2,500 self-driving vehicles annually without steering wheels, mirrors, turn signals, or windshield wipers.
Why would you need them?
Turn signals? Maybe to alert the non-autonomous vehicles?
No, you would still have signals. You would still have blinkers, no?
it says without turn signals.
Oh, but I imagine it meant like,
oh, like
without
an actual,
a mechanical,
yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
Without
yeah.
a thing for a human to hit.
Yeah, and Senator Gary Peters from Michigan, probably getting paid a fuck ton by GM, said, "We must act to ensure U.S. manufacturers can compete with countries like China to create jobs here and improve roadway safety." Okay, because meanwhile, over in China, Baidu and this company called Pony.ai said on Friday, last Friday, that they won permits to provide fully driverless ride-hailing services in Beijing, and they're going to deploy 10 fully autonomous vehicles in a technology park developed by the government. Baidu will now operate driverless robo-taxi services in three Chinese cities, including Wuhan and Chongqing. So... got to compete with China. If China, I get it. If China's well on their way to doing robo-taxis, I guess we have to also.
Well, let's see how it works out.
That was another thing, just real fast to backtrack. NVIDIA was affected by the U.S. Sanctions on China, so NVIDIA can't send and can't sell any of those H100 super chip mega computer fuck lord things to China. So China's got to try to develop.
They can't have any super fuck lord things?
No, no super fuck lord.
Well, so, I mean, that's an interesting point because so when they're talking about the Manhattan Project and the, you know, the metaphor being the nuclear bomb and all this thing, it's not super easy to enforce all these rules that we have around nuclear weapons, but it is somewhat easier to in order to build those things, you need hard to obtain materials. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of control the supply of those. Mm-hmm. With this AI stuff, you could just start, it's just software.
Well, what concerns me is like, look at how Congress tries to legislate even just fucking social media. They don't even understand fully how Facebook works. How can we expect our legislative body to protect us from AI? You know?
I think at this point there is no.
I guess it's just kind of stop worrying. Because there's nothing...
Oh, well, that was the thing. I was like, I can't do anything about this. Mm-hmm. So let's just see if the supercomputer releases it.
Yeah. I wonder what our future obituaries are going to read. Like, what am I going to get killed by? Like, an autonomous drone on his way to deliver a fleshlight to some fucking 12-year-old who tricked an AI used an AI to trick his dad into giving his credit card information, and I just get fucking plowed in the face by it.
That would be pretty cool. You can
to get hit in the face by a drone delivering a fleshlight to a child?
No, but you imagine if you're a child who's smart enough, you use an AI, maybe that's a little bit more advanced, that will...
You use an AI?
Because you have to be 18 or over to buy certain things.
Oh, yeah.
So it creates a completely photorealistic ID. Mm-hmm. Making it look like you're older than you are.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you got hella fleshlights coming in the mail.
Yeah, man. One time I was horny enough to pay for pornography.
Do you have to be 18 to get a fleshlight?
Sure.
Why?
I don't know. I have no idea. I was in the middle of a story.
If you want to fuck something, fuck it.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Just get creative like I did when I was a kid.
Did you see? Go ahead. Tell your story.
Well, so one time I spent like $35 on the one and only time to jerk off. And then...
one and only time?
Yes, to spend money to jerk off. Well, so then I felt... Then I was like, oh man, what the fuck did I do? I was like 25. So I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll call the credit card company and pretend that I have a son who used my credit card. And I like, I don't know why I changed my voice. My voice could be that. And I was like, oh yeah, I see this charge on the thing here. And I talked to my son and apparently it was some website and I'd like to see if it can remove the charge. And the lady was like, well, so your son used it? And I said, yes, that's right. And she said, well, as long as it wasn't like fraudulent, there's nothing I can do. And I was like, okay. And then I just, I still had access to that particular website for another month or so. But I promptly canceled it and just felt like a real heel for a while after that.
That is the best part. Anytime you sign up for one of those things, you
cancel it.
You always cancel it immediately, and they're like, well, you still have 30 days, and you're like, I'm good.
Until your clock resets 12 hours later.
And you're like, well, you might as well use it. I paid for this.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, glad. God. Speaking of cars, apparently Hyundai and Kia, their cars are like super theft prone, and there's, you know, there's like a TikTok challenge, but attorneys general of 23 different states are urging them to take swift action against car thefts. I personally know a couple of people who've had their cars stolen this way.
Kias?
Yeah. No, a Hun-
Kia Challenge.
I think it is a Kia. Yeah, actually. The issue is related to the company's failure to equip vehicles with anti-theft immobilizers, which has been a standard, which has been standard equipment on vehicles sold by other manufacturers in the U.S. Yeah, they do be, people do be stealing these cars using USB drives or something.
And maybe AI is pretending to be other people and getting them to do it for them.
Ooh. Man, I wonder if they're going to put telemarketers out of business. I mean, they kind of already do. We get robocalls already.
It'll probably just get worse because you know who really falls for those traps?
Old folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Can you imagine an AI that's learned your voice and calls your grandma? All my grandparents
Holy
are dead,
shit.
So I don't have to worry about this. Yeah. Yeah. Think about that. Someone used
Or you
AI.
Train it in a nice way. Call my grandma.
Ooh. Ooh. Now there's a hustle culture thing
you
for
know what
you.
I mean? My grandma's on the phone all day now.
Yeah, that's a brilliant hustle culture
Talking to me.
Thing. You can outsource calls to grandma. Use an AI to train to learn your voice, and you can make all those difficult phone
pretty,
calls that you don't want to make.
That's the thing. Maybe we should stop being scared about all this. Maybe it's just going to make our lives way better.
Way
okay?
better, yeah. Hey, call my wife. Talk to my wife for 10
I'm
minutes.
Talking to my grandma until she falls asleep. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She's repeating the same stories, but the AI doesn't care. But then what if the AI starts to feel bad and knows what you're doing and then manipulates your grandma into changing her will? Changing her will.
To leave it to the AI.
What the fuck was that?
You said
to change their will. You know, grandma, I've been thinking. I really don't want an inheritance. I would be more comfortable if you donated all your money to my favorite charity.
Which is AI.
In fact, I found one great one called AIChatbotCharity.com or something. I could think of a
better
name
than that.
You know what's
funny? So they asked the guy, Eliezer Yudkowsky, what...
Mm-hmm. Man, that poor guy has had to spell his name.
I also don't know if I'm
so
saying it right.
No, Eliezer. Eliezer's his name. Yeah.
So, leave me
Biblical
alone.
Last name.
So, it's like an hour 30 into the show, and he's like, well...
Like, well, at first it looked like you did this. No, you did a stomach scratch, too.
The host is going, we had planned to talk to you about how to integrate crypto into your... or AI into your crypto stuff, but since we've gone down this path, I don't know. I guess what would you do if we came up with $100 billion or whatever and donated it to you? What would you do to
Stop
help?
It.
And he was like... He's like, the only thing I think I could do is try to create some kind of AI winter. So I would bribe all of these scientists and researchers and put them all on an island.
And blow up the island?
No. He didn't say anything about killing them. He was just like, and then he was like, and I would try to dismantle all the GPUs and everything.
Jesus, man. Yeah, I mean, I do wonder if there's going to be some sort of ecological terrorism thing where... There's going to be a group of people who blow up a cloud computing or a fucking data center or something, right?
I don't know. We're going to fucking eat it one way or the other. It's like, everyone's talking about the Willow Project in Alaska.
What's the
right
Willow
now?
Project in Alaska right now?
You don't know the Willow Project?
No, I don't know it. That's why I asked you.
Joe Biden approved
Byron.
The pipeline.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he said no more pipelines on.
Okay, but what does this have to do with AI?
Well, if you just let someone finish, they'll get to that. I feel like I'm watching a fucking movie with my girlfriend, and she's like, "What? Who's that guy?" And
you don't have a girlfriend.
We're going to find out.
You don't have a girlfriend.
They're going to give you more information.
Yeah, but okay, so go on.
I don't know
why you're getting sidetracked.
So everyone's talking about this right now.
Talking about what?
The Willow Project and how...
What's
you know.
That? No, go on. I'll stop.
Well, way back when I said we're going to get it one way or the other, it's just like... almost with all of these things, it's like, well, there's so many that it kind of gives you some kind of peace. It's like, okay, it's coming either way.
Yeah.
You know, but so should I be worried about the Willow Project and all the CO2 we're going to release into the air and all of the spills that will wipe out people's water and fucking farms and whatever? Or should I worry about AI getting out of hand? Should I worry about how we're getting closer and closer to nuclear war with... Or should I just fucking chill, dude?
I think you should chill. Man, you're making a really strong argument for smoking cigarettes.
Well, I guess it depends how long you think we have.
Who knows, man? It's making me want to, like, commit armed robbery.
Why, though? Because then you'll spend the last of your years... You're not going to get
If I get
it.
Caught... I wonder if I ask an AI how to commit robbery without hurting anyone and getting away with it. How would you do it? Theoretically, how would you do it?
If you asked an AI that?
Yeah.
You're going to end up like the guy who we the talked about on After Hours.
Third month mortuary. It's going to give me some stupid...
No, remember the guy we talked about on After Hours who killed his wife and then was just like immediately like, how to dissolve a body?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
they just
yeah.
like pulled his searches?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'll use a VPN to ask ChatGPT how it would procure vast amounts of money. Or I could just ask it to give me money in any way that it sees fit. Hey, ChatGPT, I need... $1 million. I don't care how you get it. Put it in my account.
Yeah. On the hierarchy of things to worry about, where do you think?
What do I think is at the tippy top?
I feel like climate change. That one's the one I'm seeing the most readily. It's like every year there are once in a decade.
I love
or once in a century climate events that are pretty.
Yeah. I love when we have an especially cold winter with a lot of snow and those morons come out and go like, some kind of global warming this is. I thought it was supposed to get warmer. There's snow. The fuck?
It's kind of
Greta Thunberg, you stupid bitch.
Kind of sound logic.
Sure, very sound logic. Yeah, okay, well, nah. What else do we have for the rest of this? Crypto Corner. Oh, we had the Fed. I'll just go off this real fast. Jerome Powell, tiny little butthole mouth Jerome Powell came out and said, I'm Jerome Powell. I'm going to raise the rate by 25 basis points. I'm going to answer your questions about inflation. Oh, gosh.
This has been doing it real fast.
Yeah. So, also, I found it really interesting. The European Central Bank raised rates and they acknowledged the banking crisis here in the United States. How could they not? But... European financial regulators are apparently super pissed at America and how we handled Silicon
Say
Valley
something
Bank.
To me, ECB.
By the way, it is not silicone. Silicone is a rubber.
I understand.
It is a vulcanized rubber thing.
I didn't say it was. I said I didn't know how to say it. That's why we...
Silicon. Say it.
Silicon.
There you go.
We looked it up. Like, you knew it?
I know, but you still called it
silicone. You said silicon.
Silicon. I didn't say silicon. Did I? We can look at the tape. Who knows? Luke's nodding his head yes.
No, you didn't. I don't know how you said it, but...
But
neither of us were saying it right.
Yeah, because we're both a couple of dum-dums. It's okay, buddy.
Speak for yourself.
I am speaking for myself. I'm a big dum-dum. Yeah, I know. So that's what I'm saying. It does take one to know one. Oh, man. So these European financial regulators were privately accusing Jacques authorities of tearing up the rule book for failed banks that they helped to write. They're saying like you, one of these guys, one senior official described their shock at the quote, total and utter incompetence of U.S. authorities, especially after a decade and a half of quote, long and boring meetings with Americans advocating an end to bailouts. The U.S. has claimed normal people won't pay for the bailout because other banks are covering the cost, but one European regulator said it was a joke. Because banks are likely to pass the buck on to consumers, the customer.
That doesn't sound like banks.
Nah, it doesn't sound like banks at all. But, Powell, it's funny. He was asked about, I saw this clip on Twitter. He was asked at the press event, the presser, about the Credit Suisse going under, or not going under, but Credit Suisse getting bought out for essentially pennies on the dollar because it was like $3 billion or whatever. And as of trading a week earlier, it was worth $7 billion. And Jerome Powell basically kind of lied because he says, oh, yeah, I think that it's going to be, I'll do an impression of you, of him. I'm going to make my mouth as tiny as possible. He said, oh, yeah, there's, we believe that the damage from these regional banks and things like Credit Suisse are under control and unlikely to spread further. And then he seriously just goes like, he does just the worst.
Like cartoon character.
Like fucking, cartoon character. Yeah. Whew, oh, man. I hope they believed that lie that I just told.
Yeah.
It's.
Pulls out a handkerchief.
And dabs his sweat. Yeah. He basically fucking lies. It's amazing. So who knows if contagion is likely to happen. And if it does, I mean, Lehman Brothers took like 7 months, 8 months, 6 months. One of those, between 6 and 8 months, I'm going to say, to fully happen. So who knows? Will contagion continue? Will banks end up tightening too tight and not loan out? And that you got a record number of people not paying their car loans?
In summation, we have some things for you to worry about this following week.
Yeah.
And those are
AI.
Climate.
Mm-hmm. Climate.
AI. The looming recession and banking crisis.
Yeah. Crisis, you said?
Just fucking kill me.
What else do we have? What else do we have right below here?
You can probably just wrap up.
Yeah, I guess.
I feel like I kind of gave us a good out when I wrapped everything
up.
With
you did. Well, I like this last little story.
And then you were like, nah, it feels like maybe that's not an ending point.
Yeah. Well, this was such a dense episode. I just wanted to add a little bit more density to it. Just make it a little thicker. Add a few C's to the thickness.
Dude, it was already too many C's for me.
You mother get up. Come on, get down with the thickness. Oh, wow. I can't do it. Oh.
Well, as usual, if you're still watching, you're fucking sicko.
What the fuck is going on with you? What's going on in your life that you're still watching this or listening?
Maybe you need to reevaluate everything.
No, don't. You're doing just fine. Because this show rocks. If I'm going to be honest, this show fucking rocks. This show whips ass.
Dude, as far as shows go?
This one's good. Top of the line. We should ask an AI what it thinks about us.
I don't know if I could handle it.
I think it would probably explode.
Because rule number one of robots, they have to be honest.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode, folks. And if you're satisfied with this, please leave us a comment. Please give us a thumbs up. Please subscribe to the channel if you don't.
Please. And go back to the beginning if you want to see us do that thing where we do the topics.
Oh, we got to do that. Oh, man, we're going to do that right now. All right.
It is fun, huh?
Yeah. All right.
If you want to see us have fun, hey, we'll see you at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, we'll see you at the beginning.
Watch it again with your pals. Catch you later.
Yeah, cocksucker.
This week on After Hours.
The honey mustard fucking rocks. What would happen if you gave a dog mushrooms?
Probably have a bad time.
Would you be like a playboy or
would I ever?
Man, I wish I man
had rich parents. It'd be so sick.
Sign up on tmgstudios.tv to watch the full bonus episode.